This podcast is brought to you by Church of Living Waters. Find out more information at colw.info. We hope you enjoy this week's message.
You know, I just want to just speak clearly today. God is going to move mightily in this day today. Many people today will be prayed for. If you have a need today, God's going to come and meet that need. Do you know that I've been leading Church Living Waters now for 7 years, but I've been a member for Church Living Waters for 38 years? And I don't say that to lift myself up. I say that because I'm connected to this body. But I want you to hear this. Many pastors, Daryl, today, they're called to preach to save people. And all they do is preach to saved people. And you know, we come to church and they prepare all week long to preach to everybody, that's almost everybody in the church that's saved. God did not call me just to preach to save people. Come on. I praise God that we're saved. The same gift that I've gotten for the cross, a new birth, born again, that I have that most people in here, I know most of you, some I don't. And if you're not saved, today's your day. Amen. Amen? But I'm not called every Sunday, every day of my life, just to preach to save people. Amen? I want you to hear that. I'm not just here just to do that. This is what God's called me to do. God's called me to empower and to equip every believer, every person here, to empower and to equip every person to minister in their giftings to a lost and dying world. Amen. Come on. See, I said this last week, that when I was called to preach, I said to God, the first thing, God, I'm all about seeing people come to Christ. God, I want to see many come to you. Father, on that day when the sky splits open and you come back to receive us, God, I want many to have eternal life. God, I want to dedicate my life to going out, to speaking about the cross and going one-on-one to people and telling them what you've done to me. And I said, God, if I'm a preacher and preaching, I'm just going to preach to save people. And God said this to me, no, you're going to empower and you're going to equip through my word. And then those saved people are going to go out to the ones that you'll never go out to. And it's going to be more people that are going to come on that day. So I want to continue to keep that in front of you. We're not just here because we're here doing something neat and something fun. Amen. It was pretty fun laying in my bed this morning. Pretty fun sleeping in, you know. We're here because God's called us here today. This might be the first time that you've ever been here. I believe that today God has you here. God always wants us to open up our hearts to receive what he has for us. Because he's speaking. He's always speaking. I believe this with all of my heart. That every person here, every child that we prayed for, every guest that we have, every member, every person that's been here for the 38 years like me, that you are important to God. Amen. You're not only important to God because we somewhat know that, but you're important to people. And you're important to this city if you live in it, in any city that you live in, and you're important to this body, to this church. See, God is about individuals. And we have to base that knowing, yes, we are a church. Yes, we have this many people at this church and we do things together. But it's all about you. It's all about the individual. It's all about you as a person. You come together. And when we create a body. But every person, every individual is so uniquely made by God. And so important that as we come together, you bring the gifts and talents that God has given you. And that in this body, if you're just sitting and you have not rose up or risen up or said, this is who I am, this is what I want, many of you, then you're lacking here. We need you here, amen? Because God has you here. God has created in you a plan and a purpose, and God wants you to rise up in all of that. So today, God has called me to equip. Amen. God's called me to speak out the word, and the word is for us to receive it and for not only to be hearers, but to do what? To be doers of what he says. Amen. Amen. Well, today's a special day. Here at the end of the service, I'm going to be speaking a word that God's given us about this summer. I'm so excited about what God has. in this summer period time. Do you know, and I'll preach here in a second, God is about seasons. He's about generations and he's about seasons. We continue to pray for Ricky and Liz and their baby Jor-El. Last week, we were praying, we were pressing forward because he went through a major surgery, two brain surgeries. But Ricky and Liz and Jor-El are still in the season. Amen? Although the season seems to look like it's getting closer, sometimes at the end of a season, you can get weary, very, very weary in it. And we have to clearly know that God is ordaining this season. See, one day Ricky and Liz will look back at this and it will just be a short thing that God did. But right now, it's an endurance thing. It's a thing that's very difficult to get through. Every hour, every time is tough. But one day it will just be this. My dad told me this. I was talking to him about going on a mission trip as far as a learning, and it was a one-year experience. And I was saying, Dad, 1 year, that's so much time. 1 year to be without all the comforts of life. 1 year. I don't know if I can give a year of my life, Dad. And he said, well, one day, son, you're going to be sitting on your porch, maybe 80 or 90, and someone's going to say, how old are you? And you're going to look at them, and you're going to say, well, let's see, I'm 80, no, 81, no, 79. No, I'm 80. And he said, at that point, do you think this 1 year is really going to mean much? When we're looking at something in front, boy, we're looking at it. But when we get through it, a season, and we just, a lot of our seasons in life now, we say, thank you, God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, God. Amen. If you have your Bible, we're going to look at Esther today. In a world where there's 7 billion people. Wow. 7 billion people. It's easy to feel lost among everybody around us. You know, when I'm driving in traffic and there's so many people in traffic, I mean, I just look and just say, I'm just one of these, of many. All right, like a football game, 75,000 at University of Texas. Now there's 105,000 people at that game. And I'm like, does my voice really matter today? If I yell at the referee, can he really hear me? So many people, but you are not a number. You're not a number. You are unique. Psalms 139, let's turn there before we get to Esther. Psalms 139. Verse 13 and 14. The Bible says this. For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. That each one of us were fearfully and wonderfully made. Each one of us were hand woven by the artist, hand woven by the maker, hand woven by God himself. Hallelujah. It's a miracle, isn't it? If we would get a revelation that I've been created by Almighty, that I am his son, that he's pleased with me, it would change my life. There is no one exactly like you in this whole world. Today, I praise God, me and Philip are almost wearing the same shirt. What?
I have stripes.
See, we both looked. If me and Philip happened to be of the other sex, which we're not, one of us probably would have went home and changed, huh? But I praise God. Me and him look the same today. We're brothers in Christ. We're connected. We're on the front line together. We're going to stand with each other. But he is uniquely created much differently than I am. We have to hear this today. You're 1 in 7 billion. Even though you may feel insignificant from the time to time, your life matters. No one else can do what you can do. I think about this message, the power of one. I think about many things in my life, but I want to bring to our remembrance of Mrs. Lenars, which just 3 weeks ago was here in our service. Just a few weeks, God received her. God called her name that morning, and she was with him. Her last breath here was her first breath in eternity. But I think about the power of Miss Linares, seeing the probably 40 people at her bedside, seeing the over 70 people come to Christ in two services that we had, honoring Mrs. Linares' life. Come on. See, those 70 people did hear the word. The Holy Spirit had them there, but the reflection of Miss Linares' life was why they raised up and said, I want to be like her. And I know what she had. You know, Miss Linares was just a little lady. But wasn't she so special? Let me say that again. Isn't she so special? Didn't she impact you and your life? She had impact in her life. I remember this and I think about this. That Mother Teresa, which was such an impact, and her impact was, the reason why she impacted many was that her life was to make sure that every man, every woman had clean sheets to lay on at nighttime. That was her purpose in life. And because she was purposeful in that, and she pressed forward, and she did not allow that not to happen, guess what? The world met Mother Teresa. Hallelujah. Mother Teresa said that she was a pencil in the hands of God. Basically, that was just a tool, that the pencil didn't do anything by itself. It was just a tool that God picked up and used, and she knew that that's what she was. Miss Linares knew that she was called by God. She knew that she was chosen as his daughter. And she impacted so many people's lives because she was uniquely made. She didn't try to be someone else. She didn't look to someone and say, I wish I was that. She knew who she was. She knew who God was. And many have been impacted because of her life. Edward Everett, he wrote this, I am only one, but still I am one. I can do everything, but still I can do something. I can't do everything. And because I cannot do everything, I will not refuse to do that something that I can do. Both history and scripture are full of people who thought like this man. People of conviction, people of courage, people who made a difference. I want to make a difference in this world. I want to stand in front of God one day. And I want to know that I have done what he's called me to do. I know that I've done what he's called me to do. There will be great impact in my life. All I want one day on my tombstone is, if he doesn't come back before that, is Darren finished his race. I'm running a race right now. And you know, I'm looking at my race right now, knowing some challenges are coming in front of me, and God has told me to start preparing for those challenges. Amen. So I have to do some things to prepare. But God's called us all on a race. Some of us run it like it's a 50-yard dash. Well, we go and we finish. Some of us run it with all that we have, like a quarter mile. I think that's what it's called still. I remember that quarter mile, that one-time lap around, where, boy, now there's sprinters that run that. I mean, they just sprint the whole time. But I remember running it and thinking, I'm going to beat some people in this. And I took off with a gun, and I took off as hard as I could. And about halfway through that thing, I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, this is long. And when I got around that last curve, it felt like, and they used to call it, a monkey jumped on your back. Anybody ever hear that? I met the monkey. I thought, I am not going to even be able to finish this. I'm going to fall down. I'm almost walking and still know that I couldn't walk any further. See, the race that God's called us to run is when we are born and when we go to heaven. It's not a quick race. We don't know the ending of the race. We want to run the race with great endurance. We want to run the race daily. We want to know daily that he's created us and made us for purpose, and we will do what you called us to do. Many people in history, such great people like military leaders, MacArthur, Eisenhower, statesmen like Abraham Lincoln, George Washington, great ministers of God like Wesley, Calvin, Luther, all of these men and women of God, great heroes, Joan of Arc. You may be thinking that these are all incredible, gifted, courageous people, geniuses, people who had held positions of high rank. And you may be thinking, what about little old me? What about little old me? God, did you sure you called me into this thing called life? God, do you have something for me to do? What difference can I make? Many of us think. Am I the only one? Many of us come to that. Do you want me to tell you this? Something that my dad would always tell me. But one ordinary person can make a big difference. My mom and dad said, Darren, you have been called by God. You are going to make a difference in this world. I love that I heard that. Just look at these examples. In 1776, one vote gave America the English language instead of German. One vote. I'm thankful for that because German, you have to like spit a little bit. In 1845, one vote brought Texas into the Union. In 1868, one vote saved Andrew Johnson's U.S. president from being impeached. In 1876, one vote gave Rutherford B. Hayes the U.S. presidency. In 1923, one vote gave Adolf Hitler control of the Nazi Party. One vote does count. I'm doing good, Sam, aren't I? Every vote counts. A lot of us think that our vote doesn't count. Let me tell you, if you don't vote, it's not going to count. I'm going to go, and if it counts or not, I'm going to make my vote. I'm going to make a mark here in this world. I'm going to be represented by Christ. And my mark, my time in this world, people say it's just really about the dash between our beginning and end. It's going to be a race that God's going to call me to run, and I'm going to run it with great diligence. The Bible is not a book that simply records sweeping crusades. The Bible is about individuals. If we read the word, you're reading after each one, after each one. You're reading about men and women of God that didn't have it all. That wasn't all perfect. You're reading about many that have fallen down on their faces. Many that have sinned against God. But God raises up because of their hearts. And he calls them men and he calls them women of God. And many, many have come to Christ because of these women, men and women of God. The word talks about in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Let's turn there and we're going to then move forward. I don't hear Bibles. You turn there already. The Bible says this, "For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called." Isn't that something? So if you're wise, if you're noble, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. You know, it's amazing this scripture as we receive this scripture. I would think that for 33 years, my dad led this ministry. My dad's a mighty man of God. My dad would study the word for 40 hours a week. I mean, he would have so much rhema of the word that when he delivered it, people would drive from everywhere to receive it. People are still preaching his messages today because of the endurance that he studied the word and he ate the word. I remember every day of my life, waking up every day of my life, watching my father in the same place, praying and believing for us as a family. I didn't see much wrong in my dad. I saw a man of God. Do you know, though, that he was a first generation Christian? That his father wasn't saved, that his mother wasn't saved, that his family wasn't saved, and that he gave his life to Christ? So I'm a second generation Christian. He had a lot of things come against him, but the race that he ran was a diligent race that he's running even today. And that life has changed because of a man that said, I'm going to make a difference. That his father was saved, that his mother received Christ, that all of his brothers, all of his sisters came into the kingdom. Come on. But I would say, God, how do you have me leading after that kind of a man of God? And he would always take me to this scripture. And 27 says, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world. And I would be like, thank you, God. The reason why is because God wants to show himself through you. He wants to show himself through you. We are just a vessel that carries an almighty God. Amen. So don't feel that you're only this or only that. God has a plan for you and he has a purpose for you. The word of God talks about this in Esther, one of my favorite stories in the Bible. So the essential intercession of Esther, for Esther's people, the Jews, life turned bleak overnight. Because of a wicked plan born, all of the Jews were going to die. Mordecai, he refused to bow to Haman. He says, no, I am not going to bow. No, I'm not going to accept this. No, I'm not going to allow the people, my people, to die. Even though the king had communicated it, this made Haman so upset. Haman came to the king and he said, King, there are people that don't believe what you believe. There are people that are doing different things than you. And the king raised up his stamp and he says, will you allow these people with finances to be gone from the world? And he stamped it. And boy, Haman was so excited about that. We hear about this many times. God's people, the chosen people, they tried to take all the Jews out. But God had a plan. Amen. God had a plan. But God had a plan. Amen. We're going to talk about Esther for a few minutes, but I'm here to tell you, but God had a plan, and the person sitting right here, right here, right here. Praise God that Esther heard the cry of Mordecai and that she rose up where she was, but God's asking for all of us to rise up right where we are. Amen. The impact that we have, many of us will not save the whole Jewish people, but many of us will save our families. Many of us will save the people around us. Many of us will lead our streets to Christ. Many of us. Amen? And what is the impact of one person that receives eternity? What's the impact of that? Of receiving one? Remember me and Gamila receiving Barry and Anthony. And they're well known here in this family. Because this is their family. And you know, they had been through 10 different foster care homes. And God spoke to us and he says, open up your home to them. Open up your heart to them. Open up your love to them. And the first thing I said to God was no. Anybody ever say no? I mean, just a bold no. It wasn't like I didn't hear you. No, God, I know that you said that, but no. And I had some reasons that I told him, God's not afraid of our reasons. He's not afraid of us in communication with him. And he also knows this, that if I really say no, then he has another purpose and another plan. But he wanted me to rise up and do it. His way and his will is going to continue with or without me. That's something, isn't it? That humbles us, really. That if today, that me and my wife, that if God calls us somewhere, there'll be a man of God behind this pulpit because this is God's pulpit. Come on. That this church will continue to thrive because it's God's church. Amen? But I said, no, God, I have two little girls. I can't receive two teenagers with two little girls. God, I can't do that. If something would happen to these little girls, it's not going to be worth it. And God continued then to give me his plan. God continued to unfold it. God continued to show me and to lead me and to guide me. Sometimes we get God's voice and we run. Where God wants us to get his voice and he wants us to continue then to listen, continue to hear. Because really, his voice really should overwhelm us every time it speaks. Because he can see the end from the beginning. Amen? I mean, we only see the circumstances. So he wants to lead us and guide us with his voice. So Mordecai sent a message to Esther. And Esther, there amongst the queens, amongst the people, didn't really realize that she was there. She thought she was there for her beauty. But God had her there for her character. God had her there because she would rise up when no one else would rise up. Amen? God looks at our character. He knows we're all beautiful. Come on, you're looking at me and guess what? Daryl, I'm beautiful. Thank you for the thumbs up, buddy. Because I'm beautiful. You know why? Because I'm created in his own image. So you're looking at me, and somewhere in me, you're looking at God. Because I look like my dad. Amen. Amen. Now, the extra weight that I put on is not from him. It's from cheesecake. I'm working on that, okay? But Mordecai told Esther. He said, Esther, you're going to have to go to the king. You're going to have to go stand for your people. And she sent a message just back, and I'm paraphrasing this, but it's in Esther. And she says, no, I can't do that. If you go to the king without being asked, you could die. You will die. And I have not been asked to go to him for 30 days. And Mordecai sends back a message, and he says, these are your people. You have been calling for this time. You've been chosen to save the people. I believe that. I believe God is saying that. I believe the Mordecais need to rise up. Amen. I believe, brother, you have been calling for this time right now. Amen. There are people all around you that God has for you to be his hands and feet. That you, on the inside of you, is going to bubble out and many are going to come to Christ. George, I know that. Been praying with you for many years. That there are people that are pending on the things of God through in and through you. And God wants to use you, and he wants to use you in a mighty way. There needs to be some Mordecai speaking to the Esthers. Esther, no, you have been called for this time. This is why you're alive. For right now, for this time. And Esther just says, okay, you go out and you pray for 3 days. Amen. You fast and pray. That's what she said. We need to do things in fasting and praying. Amen. She's fixing to go in front of the king and maybe die. Hey, you go get God's word on this. You fast and pray, and I'm going to fast and pray, and the people around me are going to fast and pray. And in 3 days, I'm going to him. And this is what she said. She says that if I die, I die. Isn't that something? That the purpose behind me, that it's in God's hands, and if my purpose is to go stand in front of the king and say something and die that day, then I trust God. But I'm going to do what I'm called to do. I'm going to do what Mordecai's asked me to do. Amen? Amen? Recently, I was speaking in the prison. And I really felt that God called me to go to the prison to share the testimony of my life. What happened, and extend forgiveness to the people there. To the men, to the women. And I believe that. And I felt that after I shared that testimony that maybe that I'm finished. Maybe that ministry's finished. Maybe the door's going to close. But I found out that God wanted the door to continue to be open. That he's the one that opens doors. Amen. He's the one that keeps doors open. He's also the one that shuts doors. And I praise God for the many doors that have been shut in my life where I didn't know that they should have shut. I didn't know. I was at the other side of them saying, please don't shut door. Please don't shut. But I praise God now looking after that season. Praise God he shut that door. There was something on the other side that was no good there. Long story now. Read Esther. You would love that book. So Esther positions and goes to the king. And she cries out for her people. And God gave her favor that day. Let me tell you, the same God is going to give you favor when you get to the place of purpose and destiny. When you get on that road called purpose and destiny, you're going to have his favor all over it. But you're going to go against many things. You're going to fall down in many holes. And you're going to have to know that you know that God's called you, that he's there, that he will not leave you, he will not forsake you, and he wants you to rise up. Wouldn't it be easy? Wouldn't it be great if we just got on the big road? And on the big road, it was just God, and he was doing all of it, and it felt good, and it smelled good, and it's all good, and it's so great. There's many times on the road that we're on that it does feel like that. But there's also times on the road that we're on that it's very difficult. That the Bible says that it's going to be a narrow road and it's going to be difficult. But let me tell you why the difficult is. The difficult is to continue to purge us. It's a word we don't like. Continue to let things fall off of us where we can be polished in God's hands. Only the fire purifies. Come on. Only the fire purifies. If we don't have these roads that we get purified, where we allow God to do that, we would have pride fall, lift up so much in us. Come on, we have to hear this. Amen. God wants to continue to purify us. He wants to continue to get us on the road. Anybody getting anything today? Help me out here. So the king stamped and he said, the Jews are free people. There was a victory, but you also know that the people didn't like that, that they had to run for their lives. But God has been God, and he continues to help, and he continues to set free. The power of one as Esther, the power of one as Gamila, the power of one as Miss Lenars. God is calling us, and he's needing each one of us to be his representative. He wants us to be his hands, and he wants us to be his feet. He wants us to move forward with him, move forward in his plan and his purpose. God is calling us, and he's calling us as individuals. I praise God that he's given me a family. I have 6 children. I have also 2 foster sons. I have a big family. There'll be a day that I'll stand in front of God, and I won't be with my family, but I'll represent my family. Amen. As a leader, as a man, my wife will stand right behind me, and he'll go in and through me to get to her. It's amazing. Some of us get nervous about that day, but the enemy works the same way. The enemy has to come in and through me before he can get to my wife. Isn't that something? The enemy has to come in and through me before he can get to my children. That if I stop the enemy, he has to flee. He cannot touch them. Come on, we have to hear this. God's moving, and he's moving amongst us. The reason I'm preaching this today, God has called us here at Church of Living Waters in covenant relationship. That's who we are. We are going to be a people that will be his bride. Amen? I don't know when he's coming back. When he comes back, this church is going to be prepared, and it's going to be cultivated in relationship, and we'll be his bride without spot or wrinkle. Amen? Some of you say, well, goodness, without spot or wrinkle. No, God is calling us without spot or wrinkle. He's calling us together. A lot of times being together, it's not easy to do things together in covenant relationship. Many times it's easier to do it by myself. Or many times it's easy for you to do it by yourself. But God says he's called us together because together we can do more. And a lot of calling us together is just bumping up against each other. And I don't know about you, but I don't like to be bumped. I don't like to be pushed. But this pushing and bumping, what that is, it's continuing to polish us. It's continuing to allow us that we are going to be God's people. My dad would say, it's like putting all of us in a big bag and then just throwing it up and around over and over and over. And when it stops, a polished people come out. Many times when we first get bumped, we want to flee. Amen. They bumped me. Come on. And we don't go through the life in those bumps, and we wonder why we have so much of this and so much of that. See, it's about us coming together. It's about me being a brother and you being a brother, you seeing something in me and you coming to me and say, Pastor, can I talk to you as a brother? Come on. Can I talk to you? My growth is depending on you. Your growth is depending on me. Because we're his body. He's the head, we're the body. So in covenant relationship, God's calling us. He's calling us together as individuals, but as one. Isn't that something? We'll stand in front of him as an individual, but he's calling us as one, his body. He says this, that the power of one, that each one of us is a part of the body. And the only body that we have in reference is our own body. So I don't want to be standing in front of God with just 2 arms. I want to have my 2 legs that he gave me. I don't want to stand in front of God with just half. I want to be who God's created us to be. Every member, every person is important. Look at your neighbor and say, you're important. Look at your neighbor and say, you're needed. You're needed to be part of the bride. You're going to hear this from me, because God's calling a people to come together. And in that people, God's going to bring many, many people, and there's going to be healing because the body is working together. I'll share this, and maybe Ricky and Liz are watching tonight, today. I was able to go only to the surgery of Jor-El. And you know, a few days leading up to that, there was a lot of things that were going on, and I was just praying, and I was with my dad because he was sick. And I was thinking, God, I need to get there. I need to get there. So the day that I get there, it's a very important time of surgery. And I go and we lift up God's name, and God moves so powerfully. But I hear that many of you have already been to the hospital. And I hear that many of you have already spoken words into them that they're hanging on to, that they've written down. Come on. That's what the body is. That's the picture of the body. Amen. That there's no lack in the body. Where I can think, oh, I got to get there. And yes, it's important for me to get there. But already, many have already gone. Because God is calling his body. Amen. Just want to share a few things. As we move into this summer, God is calling us into a surge. Amen. Come on. He's calling us into a surge. And you think about, what is a surge? We have a beach that has little surfs of waves. If you're going to go surfboarding at our beach, you're not going to have too much of a surf. But a surge is something that kind of just comes and it lingers. A wave that comes in and it floods Rosenberg and Richmond. A surge is like, we're going to put everything together and boom. That's what a surge is going to be. God's calling us to surge this summer. A lot of times in ministry, we look at summer and we think, oh, we've done so much now. Let's take a break. God's about breaks, amen? But God's not about letting his people die. God's not about letting his people hunger. So God's about us coming together and the body working together, but a surge is going to happen this summer. Many people will come to Christ this summer. Many people will come to Christ this summer. Many people will come to Christ this summer. God has shown me many people coming to Christ this summer. And God is going to use the body. He's going to use the surge of this body that many people will come to Christ. He's going to use you as an individual. Every person's important in this surge. You have to find your place in this surge. Everyone's important. Every person's going to be needed because many people are going to come to Christ. Many people are going to come to Christ. I can't tell you what that does when God speaks that to me. Because remember, I'm not here to preach to the saved. Amen. Jesus was not here. He was here to find the lost. He was here, as the word said, to find the one. And then he brought them back in and they did good things, but then he went out to find another one. Praise God for the good things, the assembling of the body, where God moves powerfully here. But it's not only about this, it's about going to the one. Many people are going to come to Christ. A surge that's going to be needed for every one of us is going to be needed. There's some things that I've listed that God has said that this summer is important for us to press forward in. You ready? This summer, it's so important for us to do. Just quickly, and we're going to be preaching next Sunday. We're going to have some commitments next Sunday because God is, I know that the summer goes very quickly. Amen. And so we're going to commit. God is going to use us in a great surge. At the end of the summer, we all will have great testimony of how many people have come to Christ. Maybe this will be someone in your family. Maybe this will be someone that you've been praying for many years. God wants you to understand and know that you are needed in this. This building, I praise God for it. You would not believe how much it gets used. If you come up during the week, this is all moved. There's a basketball goal here. There's kids everywhere. 150 kids here Monday through Friday. Some of them get here as early as 6, and they leave at 6. And what we call that, we call it discipleship. We receive them that early, and no matter how young they are, we're discipling them. Wes, Blake, many of these people are here today that have a great part of discipleship. Yes, we're a Christian school. Yes, we're preschool, but we look at these children as God's sons and God's daughters, and there's great discipleship. The building gets used all the time. I remember building this building. Many of you know the first building was the Pitts building, and we had church in there, and we filled that place up that we had to find a place to build, a place to continue, and then we built this. And you have to know that this was the only thing built, and there's rooms. If you've never been, there's rooms all around us. But we started off by building this sanctuary and left the rooms empty. So one at a time, sometimes two at a time, we tackled those rooms. There's a room up here called the Science Lab that was a $175,000 room. Praise God for the science lab now. Amen. We get to benefit from a mighty science lab. But I remember when we said, let's tackle that science lab. And I'm like, oh, wow, that's going to cost a lot. There's a computer room here with over 25 computers all ready, all wired up already, about $20,000 worth of equipment there. That's another room. I'm here to say that part of the surge that God's telling me, there's one room that has not been completed in this building. Isn't that something? After all of these years, we're still hanging on one room that hasn't been completed. And God has told me that this summer, some of this surge, we will complete that room. And there'll be a great completion over this ministry. See, God does not want to leave anything not completed. Isn't that something? Many times if I'm wondering what God is telling me, I can't hear you, God. I have to go back to what he's spoken to me, and I have to make sure it was completed. Anybody ever been there? God has showed me the other side of this completion of this room. We are on 20 acres here. I praise God for the many before us that have bought the land. Now we're trying to keep it up, mowing it. But we have 20 acres here. Those acres are not just here for us to pick dewberries on. Boy, those dewberries are good out there. Those acres are here for a purpose and for a reason. So God, in this surge, one of the great things that God's called us to do is right in this room where you open it up, there's a bunch of chairs. That room is supposed to be a kitchen. This ministry needs a kitchen. Amen. This ministry needs a kitchen, not just for me. 150 kids bring sack lunches every day here for the last 30 years. It's time to serve these kids a hot meal. Amen. Come on, anybody? The room's designed to be a kitchen. I have Mr. Hardaway coming in a couple of weeks to just look at the room, to tell us what we're going to need. He's someone with his hands that can really help us out. But God has said to me that in this surge to finish this building, now we're not having to go to a $175,000 science lab. We're just doing a kitchen right there. We've already been given a commercial stove. Amen. Amen. Yeah. So there's a surge, and this surge is going to cost. Come on. It's going to cost. It's going to be some of our time, some of our treasure, some of our talents. But all the things that God has done, everything that I've done, it's always come at a cost. God always wants to know, are we willing? I praise God that standing in this facility today, that many people have given to the cost of where we are, that we get to benefit for all the things before us. We benefit from this building. We benefit from the rooms. Come on. We benefit from the land that's been purchased beforehand. Now God is just asking us to finish it up. Amen. 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 He's just asking us to finish it up.
Thanks for listening to today's podcast. We pray you were encouraged and would love to hear from you. For more information on Church of Living Waters, check out col.info.